Today on Compassion Radio.
I would encourage anyone that's listening, you know, don't be discouraged by changes or what looks different in front of them, but that the provision for their next, whatever the next thing that God has for them, is directly tied to their obedience in their now.
Let's let that one sink in. Yeah, I have to realize that God has called and He'll provide when He's ready for that calling. He's walking us into that calling.
Yeah, and the key is the walking, so that requires obedience.
Well, welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Last time, Bram's wife Sandy had a great chat with her guests Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass, the two incredible women who founded Can You Believe It Ministries in Kenya, East Africa. They discussed all things missions, and today there's plenty more great insight coming your way. Here's Sandy and her guests with the final part of that conversation.
Well, I want to turn a little corner here because I want to get caught up on what's happening back in Africa. I know you guys left a lot of stuff back there running and going, and I remember a conversation that we had briefly about a year ago when you were saying that they were asking you, what do we do next? What do we do? And you were telling them, you can do this without us. Just keep doing it. So how is it going in Isiolo? What's happening there? And give us a little update on what's happening back in Africa.
That is a great question, and it's probably one of the things that gives me the greatest joy. Things are continuing in Africa.
That's exciting.
It is, even as we remain here. So during the time that the questions were posed, okay, what do we do? What's next? As we encouraged the leaders there in Isiolo to continue, they did continue and continued with the curriculum, and they were faithful to meeting together and to going out into different villages and going out with Timothy's. And the last report we got, we're in our fifth generation of church planters.
Wow.
They don't need us. They have who they need, and that's the Lord. They continued with that particular semester. That class has now graduated. Those graduates have Timothy's and Titus's that they're leading, and churches are being planted, or fellowships rather, because of course we've already talked about the fact that our desire was never to build a church, but to build the people. And we've just recently received videos of some of the newest church plants, and you can see the acacia trees in the background.
That's exciting.
And you can see the river, and they're rejoicing and celebrating and just happy about Jesus. And they're just there in creation. That class has graduated, and they're in process of recruiting for the next class.
Wow.
And they're so encouraged just to share the gospel and to see how those villages and communities are changing just because their worldview is being changed by the gospel. The church planting is continuing. The school is there. And they're functioning and leading themselves without waiting on us to do it.
Why is it important for them to continue this work without you there?
That's probably the most important thing. That says to us that they have not modeled themselves after us as Westerners, that we have literally gotten out of the way, and they're doing this because of their love and their relationship with Christ, that they have actually caught the vision for making disciples who make disciples, which is exactly what Jesus told us to do.
Right.
If they waited on us, that means they would be looking to people, which would be the two of us. They're not looking to us. They're looking to the Lord as their provider, which is exactly what we wanted. Our prayer when we initially went to Kenya and even to Isiolo was, Lord, we want you to be glorified so much so that they don't see us, they see you. And as long as they see you, then they'll follow you and do what your commands say. So that's the greatest joy that I have out of the ministry. As much as I miss it and as much as I want to be there, the truth of the matter is I'm not needed there. And that's a wonderful thing, because they're doing, with whatever challenges that they have, they're doing life together. They're still fellowshipping. They're still encouraging each other. And the churches are evolving within the cultural context that they can understand. They're not trying to create little Western churches.
That's the thing that's so beautiful about it, is that it fits who they are. They're not Absolutely. Trying to be someone that they're not, and because they don't know how to be Americans mm-hmm. or Westerners. So that's perfectly fine.
Absolutely. God receives more glory when the church looks like the culture in which it was planted in. Because God created us all.
Yeah. Say that again. I love that.
God receives more glory when the church looks like the culture in which it was planted in. Because when we look at Revelation 7 and 9, it says all nation, all tribe, all people, all language. That means there's distinct differences mm-hmm. that give him glory when that comes into fruition. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what I believe that God would desire. He receives more glory. We see more of who he is by seeing his church evolve and grow into the culture.
Well, and I think that's been a real paradigm shift in the missions community over the last probably 20, 25, even 30 years or so. Because before it was different. In some ways, they would try to westernize the cultures where a lot of the missionaries were serving. So that is a whole different way to look at things, in that we want to honor the things about their culture that we're able to honor. And
absolutely. I think about a particular worship service we were in Isiolo, and there were probably five different tribes represented, and a group of the Maasai mm-hmm. were there. And of course, they're known for hunting lions and for their ability to jump. We're in this worship service, and I'm just taken away by all of the languages that I hear that are literally worshiping the Father. Mm. As we're in worship, I hear this thumping, thump, thump, thump. And I look around, and the Maasai are jumping.
Oh, wow.
And they're jumping in order to give God glory. And I think that is one of the most beautiful expressions that I've seen of what heaven is going to mm-hmm. be like. Just worshiping out of the full expression of who God created us to be, to yeah. give him worship and glory out of that. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful expression of the church.
Well, I think each of us can think of something that is so ingrained in us from our family of origin, from our culture that surrounds us, that it would be hard to separate that from who we are in a lot of ways. And the Holy Spirit can do what he wants and can change our hearts and our character even. And hopefully he does change our character to be more like the character of Christ. But I think there are some things that we do that are just part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
That's why there's so many different denominations and different churches that worship differently and look differently. And that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing in the kingdom of God, that we can all be so different and yet worship God mm-hmm. so purely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are definitely essentials of our faith that make us who we are and define us as being followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. But there's some expressions of that that are uniquely different according to the culture. You would not see anyone jumping in our Western world. If we did, it would probably be strange to us, like the Maasai.
Right, not like the Maasai, for sure.
Right. But, you know, the essentials of the faith is still believe that Jesus is the Son of God, still believe he died and rose again on the third day. I mean, mm-hmm. just the essentials of our faith are there, but their expression and their appreciation and giving glory to God mm-hmm. can certainly look totally different. Doesn't have to look like us.
There's more coming up with today's host, Sandy Floria, and her guests, Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass, right after this.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Radio with Bram Floria.
So we mentioned Maisha Pamoja a little bit ago, kind of in passing, but I know that's dear to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's happening with that and how God is expanding that, what's happening in Kenya with that, and how you've maybe you transferred over a little bit to your place in Clarkson as well, but update us on what's happening with that.
There's one young lady in particular that we poured into a lot while we were there. That was just an absolute blessing. Her name was Pauline. The things that we were able to do with her as it relates to Maisha Pamoja, like I was saying, is a creative space that promotes hope, healing, and restoration. Mm-hmm. Now she is like literally living out her dream of training other women, teaching life skills, women that have come out of different backgrounds and sometimes traumatic circumstances. And because of what she has learned during the time that we were with her and in partnership with some other organizations in Kenya, now she's also leading, encouraging, preparing other women to lead lives just like she is. But here we have the opportunity for like the hospitality piece that we do here. For us, that we consider that to be an extension of Maisha Pamoja. We are actually about to launch another t-shirt drive so that we can raise some money to do more things on this side. There's an opportunity that I have to partner with the church where Sonia works, and they have a mission that's coming up where we will get to minister to some young people at a camp in Jamaica. And so I will have the opportunity again to use some of those same life skills, some of the same activities that we were using in Kenya with ladies there at conferences and workshops that we were doing. I'll be doing some of the same things in Jamaica.
That is exciting.
And that's something that we also use here with the ladies at MTS, at the training school.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me to see how God has, I guess from the outside looking in, it may be assumed that, okay, so now we're back in the United States. And maybe I would have thought this a year ago, back in the United States. So no longer called to full-time missions, but that's not the case. As I look at what God has been doing since we've been back, he's just growing what he placed in our hearts as we were in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
The same things that Sonia was involved in as relates to heart training and just helping to grow women. She's doing that here. The same thing as it relates to the church and disciples and church planting and empowering local leaders and working with marginalized. I'm doing that here, and he's still moving and he's working. And so I would just encourage individuals not to limit the view of what working on mission for Christ looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to go and make disciples, but going is across the water and it's across the street.
Right.
And the opportunities are vast. And if we only look at opportunity is going across the water, then we miss what God is actually doing in our own backyards.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say don't go across the water, because we need both. There are still over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world. Matthew 24:14 says, you know, when everyone hears the gospel, then the end will come. So it's still unfinished, but there's just so much that we can do and we're able to do wherever we are.
Well, and there's no reason to say that I'm not called because I'm not called across the water. We're all called,
right,
like you said, even across the street.
Absolutely.
I put it this way, that just because one's geographical location has changed, it doesn't mean that their vision and mission has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just means you're in a different place, but you're still walking out the call of where you believe God has called you. And our responsibility is still to love on people and meet them where they are, regardless of where you're located.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He puts it in your heart. He put a dream in your heart. He called you and he's not done with
it. Right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I think one of the biggest things that the Lord has been teaching me and continues to remind me is that the provision, and I would encourage anyone that's listening, you know, don't be discouraged by changes or what looks different in front of them, but that the provision for their next, whatever the next thing that God has for them, is directly tied to their obedience in their now.
Hmm. Let's let that one sink in. Yeah, I have to realize that God has called and he'll provide when he's ready for that calling. He's walking us into that calling.
Yeah. And the key is the walking. So that requires obedience.
I know that y'all are more focused on adults. And we talked some about village transformation, things that are happening because of the church plants, the fellowships that are happening in Kenya. So how do you see that the church plants and the fellowships transforming villages and bringing about change saves African children, or that brings them into the knowledge of Christ in their homes and that makes them more secure?
I have one example, just how when you're obedient to what God is calling you to do, then he extends that. We had some graduates from our first graduating class, and we kept trying to introduce farming to them, just like, oh, our tribe doesn't do that. We went and got trained ourselves and then shared what we believe the Lord wanted us to share with them, and they were very reluctant. The area that we work in is so far out in the bush, so they don't have schools. So the schools that they would like to send their kids to are in the city, and they're expensive, and they don't have the funds to do that. And so that's why we were trying to encourage them to farm.
Mm-hmm.
We shared the information. So now it's like fast forward about 8 months later, we go to the bush to share the Jesus Fam. And one of the graduates, the young lady, asked me if she could show me something. I said, sure. So she takes me across the dirt road and she shows me this field, and it's this huge garden.
Oh.
And I said, whose is this? And she said, it's mine. And what happened is she said, you know, you and your Dada sister, you said we could do this farming thing and we didn't believe you. So we thought we'd try it and see what happened. And so she came back and discipled the ladies in her village and shared all of the information that we had shared with her. Not only was she teaching the things that she had learned at the discipleship training center, but she also was teaching them about farming God's way. And so they rented this plot of land, bought all these seeds, and they planted, and then just like, okay, we'll see if anything is going to happen, and then we'll tell the sisters about it. And what ended up happening is they had this huge garden, and they were able to harvest the food, and they had found a businesswoman in town that would come get the food and was selling the produce to a local tourist hotel. Mm-hmm. She would take a small cut and bring the rest back to the ladies. So as a result of that, for the first time in their villages, they were able to provide their own food for their families, and they were also sending their children to school. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, because they are in Isiolo, at the time it was the second highest rate of HIV and AIDS in all of Kenya. Mm-hmm. So there are quite a few orphans there, and their desire was to take in some of the orphan kids where their parents had died so that they wouldn't be sent out of Isiolo. So because of that garden and the money that they were receiving from the harvest, they were able to take in some of the children within their village and community. So those mothers were taking care of other kids. So that's an example of how we can equip and empower. They took a chance, and now their lives have been forever changed. Mm-hmm. So now they are teaching other villages how to plant and how to harvest their own food.
Wow.
That's definitely huge. That community development piece is tremendous. And education for youth. That's huge. I think another aspect for why it's important and how it impacts children is when we look at the spread of the gospel, those nations who are not just senders or not just goers, when we look at Africa, Africa is quickly becoming a nation that's not just receiving missionaries, mm-hmm. but they're training their own missionaries and they're sending missionaries mm-hmm. as well. And they're impacting the world as a whole with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're preparing the next generation for the next move in the world, then it's imperative that we sow into the children so that we can raise up another generation that can continue to spread the gospel.
Mm, two very good reasons to sow into our children wherever they are.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies, this has been fun. It's been really fun to hear from you, to see your faces. I know that they can't see you on the radio, but I can see you here. It's been really fun to catch up with you, just to hear what God has been doing. I know both of you are sitting in a place of unexpectedness and not
truly
knowing that God was calling you to where he called you, but yet you didn't sit still. In a lot of ways, you're going to be busy about the Lord's work, I know. It's been great to hear what God is doing and how he continues to use you both in your very unique but yet together ways. Mm. Sonia, when you keep talking about hospitality, I have to smile because that is definitely your spiritual gift for sure. You have such a beautiful gift of hospitality. I know that's something that God has put in you, but he's been able to use it in so many different ways. I saw it play out when we were in Kenya, and just hearing what you're doing now in Clarkston is a big extension of that as well.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you both for joining us on Compassion Radio. I'm glad we were able to make this work.
Thank you.
Hear your stories, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future when God does another big work in you, as he's bound to do.
Yes.
Very true.
Wonderful. Well, it's been wonderful to be back on, and we really appreciate the invitation to return.
Definitely. Thank you so much for the time and the smiles that they can't see.
Amen to that.
Amen.
If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.